'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the studio, not a microphone was on, for there was no audio. The computers were placed by the chimney with care, in hopes that an update would soon be there. Eric and Logan were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of upgraded podcast equipment danced in their heads, and Anchor and their sponsorships and the figures among us on Amazon had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the blast doors, and threw up the sash. The moon on the boxes of podcast equipment from Black Friday sales gave the luster of midday to the objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature mixer and 8 tiny mic stands. With a little old chipset so lively and quick, I knew in a moment they must have been from Rode. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now shock mount, now microphone cables, now amps and headphones, on editing software, on computers, on distribution platforms, and mixers, to the top of the desk, to the top of the wall, now flip the switch, turn on please, let them record. As dry leaves before the hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle and proper mounting to the desk. So up to the desktop, the coursers they flew, with the mount full of grease and tiny screws, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the twisting and turning of each little gear. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney the equipment came with a bound. It was dressed all in cardboard, from its head to its foot, and the packaging was all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of accessories it had carried inside, it looked so plentiful, just begging to be used. Its boom arms, how they twisted, its shock mount, how merry. I laughed when I saw it, in spite of myself. And a crackle of plastic and a twist of a cord soon gave me to know that I had nothing else to afford. It spoke not a word, for it cannot talk. I filled out the agreements in the app, and turned with a jerk. And laying a finger upon the record button, and giving a nod, I began to speak. The mic started recording, I wanted to whistle. And away the boxes flew, into the recycling bin, like the down of a thistle. But I heard myself exclaim, ere they flew out of sight, "Happy podcasting to all, and to all, a very entertaining, a podcast about music, holiday, spectacular." Welcome to another episode of a podcast about music. It's an info comedy about music. I'm one of your hosts, Logan.
And I'm Eric.
Eric, today is a very special day. Do you know why?
It's no ordinary show, Logan.
No, it's certainly not.
There's something spectacular afoot.
I'd say. Today, you are listening to the Holiday Spectacular episode of a podcast about music.
Welcome to the Holiday Spectacular. Your one-stop shop for holiday cheer.
Wow. I like that.
Thank
you. We'll put that in. This episode has been long in the making, and I'm very, very glad that we're about to put it out to everyone and anyone, really. Anyone can listen to this absolutely for free. And I'm just really glad that we're finally doing it. 2020 has been quite a roller coaster of a year, and it's almost over, so I think it's probably fitting that we do a mega episode today.
Mega.
Yeah. Mega as in huge. Huge, as some people would say.
I'm not sure exactly how to properly prepare for something like that, but I guess here we are.
Just don't prepare at all.
Bring it on.
We'll be okay. Before we start the show, do you have anything you want to say to our listeners out there?
Not a thing, Logan. It's the holiday season, you know?
Well, if you do want to say anything at any point, feel free to do so.
Thank you very much. I will.
You're welcome. We have a bit of an interesting plan for this episode. I have asked some people on the internet, what do you want us to talk about today? And we got some responses, surprisingly enough. And only one person made it clear that they were okay with us using their name, and we will get to that in a moment.
Oh, really?
But we're going to go through our suggestions from people that shall remain nameless. I guess actually two people let us use their names.
Friends of the show, you're saying?
Yes, friends of the show.
Wow.
And you'll hear in the credits today that I do credit friend of the show, Megan. She does not make an appearance in this episode whatsoever, but she was integral in producing the podcast episode and making it very easy for us to do this. So thank you.
Logan, did she offer recommendations or something?
No, she just helped with the post-production.
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is. Well, we've got quite a show planned for you all today. So sit back, relax, grab your snacks and drinks, and enjoy. We're talking about the Foo Fighters, first and foremost.
Are they a holiday band?
No, just a recommendation.
Wow.
And this
great
recommendation comes from friend of the show, Louis F. So thank you for recommending that. You know who you are, I hope.
Foo Fighters. I've heard of the Foo Fighters. I've heard of this Dave Grohl character.
Yep, as have I. Well, let me tell you a little bit about them, and we'll talk about three of their hit songs. Foo Fighters, named after a World War II secret term to describe UFOs, began with Dave Grohl, originally the drummer for Nirvana, whom we've talked about in the past.
Sure we have.
Dave Grohl formed Foo Fighters in 1994 after the untimely death of Kurt Cobain, Nirvana's lead singer. We've also talked about Kurt Cobain on the show.
Sure we have.
Now, Grohl was able to stretch his fingers and his mind as he led his new band, originally meant as an anonymous solo project in guitar, vocals, and songwriting. Most of the band's first songs were by Grohl during his Nirvana years. His hit songs with Foo Fighters, I'd say, are Everlong, The Pretender, and Best of You. Have you heard any of these songs, Eric?
I think I've heard all of them, but I don't know them by name. Everlong sounds very familiar.
Yeah,
which
Everlong
was the first you mentioned.
Everlong. Yeah, I think that's their most popular song.
Yeah. It's like Everlong.
I think something like that. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just kidding. Just kidding
well,
around.
Regardless, I listened to Everlong before we started the show and can't seem to remember how it went.
Well, that's all right.
But
it's going to be linked in the show notes. You should click on that later, Logan.
It will be linked in the show notes. Show notes will be quite extensive today because we have a lot to talk about. But Everlong is a great one. The Pretender is another classic. And Best of You is a song to check out. So that's kind of our talk about Foo Fighters. And now someone suggested we talk about Mariah Carey in terms of Christmas songs. And I don't know if they said that we could use their name, so we're not going to, just out of respect. And here we go. At 18, Mariah Carey signed with Columbia Records, and her first album had four number one singles, including Vision of Love and I Don't Wanna Cry. Carey went on to generate several more albums, later with other studios, and top singles, becoming one of the most commercially successful artists of all time, with 19 number one hits and more than 200 million records sold.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot. She was born on March 27th, 1970, in Huntington, Long Island, New York, to Alfred Roy Carey, a Venezuelan aeronautical engineer, and Patricia Carey, a voice coach and opera singer. She had two older siblings, a brother, Morgan, and a sister, Allison. One of her most popular songs, especially around this time of year, is All I Want for Christmas Is You. You've heard that song, obviously.
I've heard the song, and it certainly highlights one of the things Mariah Carey was most famous for.
Very high-pitched vocals.
Her tremendous range.
Yes.
That's right. Half of it is her high-pitched vocals.
Mm-hmm.
The other half, low.
Ever since its release, All I Want for Christmas Is You has been met with universal critical acclaim, with The New Yorker describing it as one of the few worthy modern additions to the holiday canon. It is Carey's biggest international success, topping the charts in countries including Australia, Canada, France, and Germany. In 2019, it topped the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time, 25 years after its original release, thus breaking several records, including the longest trip to number one, 25 years.
Wow.
The following year, it also topped the charts in the United Kingdom for the first time, becoming Carey's first number one in the UK in 20 years. With an estimated sales of over 16 million copies, it is the best-selling Christmas single by a female artist and one of the best-selling singles of all time. By 2017, it had reportedly earned an annual not annual, excuse me. In total, annual would be crazy, but this is a total earnings and royalties. You want to guess, Eric?
Royalties that Mariah herself will see, or just for all involved?
I think all involved.
Yeah, $1 billion.
$60 million.
$60 million for one song.
Yeah, not bad.
It seems like we sometimes in life place value on art that might be a little excessive, but that's certainly a conversation for another time.
Yeah, and another podcast, if I might.
Seriously, a podcast about royalties.
Yes, that's exactly the one I was thinking of. Do you have anything you want to say about Mariah Carey before we jump into the last two suggestions of this episode?
No, this is exciting. I kind of like a little just mini-sode within a mega-sode.
Yeah, like four mini-sodes, yeah. And then we have really fake headlines.
Check out the songs. I have a feeling every one of our listeners on this side of the globe anyway has heard Mariah's All I Want for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But maybe not. It's worth listening to.
In that case, click that linked song in the show
notes. Yeah, seriously, make sure she gets some more royalties.
Yeah.
She's got to keep the lights on this
winter. She doesn't have enough, yeah. The next two topics were suggested by a friend of the show, Andrew O, who also gave us permission to use his name. Thank you.
Explicit written permission?
I do have typed permission, not written, but who's really writing anything down?
What's the difference between implicit and explicit?
Implicit is implied. Explicit is like said or stated.
Explicit is explicit.
It is pretty explicit.
I'm not sure you're allowed to use a word when you define a word.
Well, this is a mystery that may never be solved.
Yeah.
One of Earth's greatest mysteries. Well, number one, we're talking about Greta Van Fleet. I know you're a fan.
Yes, I don't know a lot about the band, but I was introduced to them thanks to Sirius XM a year or two ago.
That's cool.
Great, great music.
Mm-hmm.
Rather original. Some compare Greta Van Fleet to Led Zeppelin at times, but I think for today, very original sound, especially the singer.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to tell you a little about Greta Van Fleet before we move into our last suggestion of the episode. Employing an earworm heavy blend of hard rock and blues, Greta Van Fleet emerged in the mid-2010s, I believe 2012, while the band members were still in their teens. Raised on a steady diet of classic FM vinyl, the sibling-led group's brawny blend of stadium rock and rhythm and blues evoked both The Who and Led Zeppelin.
And just to be clear,
mm-hmm.
is Greta Van Fleet anyone's name?
No, I was just about to get there.
Wow.
So it consists of three brothers, Josh Kryzka, vocalist, Jake Kryzka, guitarist, Sammy Kryzka, bassist, and their friend, Danny Wagner, drummer.
Did Danny ever talk about how he feels like the odd man out because he's not one of the brothers?
I haven't heard him saying any of that, but I'm sure he probably feels a bit alienated.
You know what the old expression, how the old expression goes, right?
So many expressions to choose from.
Keep your friends close.
And your
drummer closer.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's just a holiday extravaganza. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that was very extravagant of you. They released their album Anthem of the Peaceful Army, which got 4 Grammy nominations but only 1 win as Best Rock Album in 2019. That's pretty impressive.
And Logan, what was their biggest hit off of that album?
I'd say it was You're the One. I think that's from that album.
That's the song that really put them on my radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the song they were playing over and over on the channel I was listening to.
Yeah.
But for good reason. Great song.
Yeah, it's a good song. I listened to it just before we started as well. Their hit songs, other than You're the One, I'd say are When the Curtain Falls and Safari Song. So you can check all of those out in the show notes. I'll be linking them. And give them a listen because I really think they're worth your while.
Totally. Totally.
Finally, we have another Christmas song suggestion. But not just any Christmas song. A Christmas song sang by Frank Sinatra. Or sung by Frank Sinatra, I believe would be proper in this case.
All ears.
Regardless, we're talking about Frank Sinatra very briefly.
Have we ever dedicated an entire sode, that's short for episode, to Frank Sinatra?
I don't think so, but I would be totally down to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoa, what the heck was that?
I forgot to open my mouth to speak. I just said,
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Singer and actor Frank Sinatra rose to fame singing big band numbers. In the 1940s and 50s, he had a dazzling array of hit songs and albums that went on to appear in dozens of films.
Just to back up for a second, fella. Okay. What kind of array?
Dazzling array.
That's the spectacular...
A spectacular array.
Extravaganza that we're looking for today.
Those are the type dazzling. Of descriptors that we like over here.
You say the word dazzling array, and then you immediately think of what city?
New York City.
I would say Las Vegas, personally.
Oh.
Where he
do a lot of gambling?
Where he spent a lot of time, Frank Sinatra.
Well, he sang about New York, so that's where my mind
Yeah, went. I hear you. You're correct.
New York.
I can't disagree.
As a matter of fact.
New York.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anybody ever refer to him as Old Blue Eyes?
I'm sure they have. In fact, I know they have. Old Blue Eyes was one of Frankie's nicknames.
Wow.
As the nickname Frankie is also, as I just made that up.
And how about, what was another nickname? Chairman of the Board, maybe?
I don't know.
Is that him?
I don't know.
I'm going to look into that while you're talking.
He had a dazzling array of hit songs and albums and went on to appear in dozens of films, winning a supporting actor Oscar for his role in From Here to Eternity. He left behind a massive catalog of work that includes iconic tunes such as Love and Marriage, Strangers in the Night, My Way, and New York, New York. He died on May 14th, 1998 in Los Angeles, California. His album, Christmas Songs by Frank Sinatra, is the name of his third studio album by, obviously, Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
If you forgot who we were talking about.
Who are we talking about?
Frank Sinatra.
Chairman of the Board.
Old Blue Eyes. It was released in 1948. Songs on this album include Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, White Christmas, and Winter Wonderland.
So they couldn't just rest at one Let It Snow? There's three of them in the title?
Yeah.
Somebody was getting paid handsomely per word of the song title.
Yeah. Whoever is getting paid for the use of the word let is really doing well because of this song. Did you find out if Chairman of the Board was Frank Sinatra's nickname?
Yes. It sure was.
It was?
It was a nod to his... stature, but at the same time, he was technically the chairman of the board of the record company that he owned.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
They refer to him as Old Blue Eyes.
Yep.
Swoonatra.
I'm sure because
that's a good one, huh?
He was quite the ladies' man.
Lavos. Okay. Or Lavos, but I think it's pronounced Lavos.
Lavos.
That would be
what language?
The voice.
Spanish?
I'm guessing Italian.
Italian, okay.
But I don't know Italian. I'm just guessing.
Bad at languages.
Not only Swoonatra, Logan. Not only Swoonatra. Some called him the Sultan of Swoon.
Whoa.
And the voice, which would be the translation of Lavos. However, Logan, Sultan of Swoon was perhaps the origination of Dire Straits. Famous song.
Sultans of Swing.
Sultans of Swing.
Which is another great one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll link that one too. Just for no other reason than that. It's a good song.
Can't disagree. This is chock full of links now.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare to put together. But you know what? It's worth it.
You owe it to the fans.
Well, I guess.
Let me tell everyone out there a little inside information.
Okay.
A little look behind the curtain, as they say.
Yeah, please do.
Logan is responsible for the majority of our post-production work. And by majority, I mean 100%.
I'll be right back, but keep talking.
Logan effortlessly and tirelessly dedicates himself to producing this program long after the microphones are turned off.
Yeah, I'm still here, by the way.
Logan had to step out of the studio, to deal with what I can only call a feline incident. But hopefully it's been resolved.
Yeah, Logan, it has been.
Welcome back. I ran out of things to say.
Yeah, well, thank goodness I'm back, I guess. If you don't have anything else to say, I guess this is a perfect time to roll into Real or Fake Headlines, which is a special shortened version of Real or Fake that we are doing this holiday spectacular episode.
Yeah, in another interesting twist, I'm not going to be doing Real or Fake Headlines, but I'm going to say that I am.
Okay.
And then I'm just doing a short one.
Pretty cool. Let's go right into Real or Fake Headlines. Picture this. It's December 22nd. You're frantically looking for a last-minute gift for someone on your Christmas list that ships in 2 days or less. Well, take a deep breath, because I've got you covered. The Figures Among Us and The Figures Among Us Resurrection are on a flash sale on Amazon.com. Here's a quick description of both books in sequential order. The Figures Among Us is a coming-of-age tale of alien contact, action, secrets, and discovery. Jobin Henryson is a near-adult male with one big catch. He's an alien from the planet Chochka. As Jobin develops his powers under the instruction of his adoptive father Mark, he learns about different abilities, hidden truths in family members, and more. When an alien invasion is imminent, Jobin, his girlfriend Whitney, his brother Wyatt, and Mark must come together in order to save the human race from extinction. The Figures Among Us Resurrection. Much has changed. After the Dubai disaster, Jobin, Whitney, and Wyatt learn about the new tools they use to prevent the disasters. Following yet another disaster, it becomes clear that Jobin is unwell. After a possible cure for his disease is discovered, he and his brother must go on a harrowing mission, not only to save Jobin, but to once again save the world. Head to the links in the episode description to pick up a copy and begin your journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome once again to Real or Fake. But better. It's Real or Fake Headlines for this holiday extravaganza.
Yay.
Coming to you, not so live, from the December 2020 archives.
Yeah, really. Tell me about it.
Logan, it's been quite a year. I'm glad we're wrapping it up on a happy note, generally speaking.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really looking forward to this Real or Fake. I've been talking about it all week with friends and family. Anybody who will listen.
They're hearing about Real or Fake Headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I've been running
the only thing they should be
some possibilities by them. And it was at that point I decided I'm going against the grain. I'm not giving you Real or Fake Headlines. I'm giving you Real or Fake Factoids.
Cool.
Holiday. Holiday. Magic related.
All right.
Who's going first?
You can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Logan, there's two characters on the Earth that a lot of people are confused about.
I'm sure there are.
There are reindeers, which some believe are real, some believe are fictional.
I believe the plural would be reindeer, right?
I don't really know.
I don't know either. I just feel like that makes sense.
In that, and I feel foolish that I even said it.
Well, don't, because it might be right.
Okay, you've got your reindeer.
Or reindeer, sure.
Yeah, and then you've got your unicorns. Another one that most people would think is fictional. What? Maybe. Logan, I did extensive research, and I'd like to tell you all about reindeer and or unicorn.
Well, this is certainly appropriate.
Thank you.
Considering this is a magical time of the year.
Yeah. And
almost... certainly, unicorns don't exist. I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm almost certain that they don't exist.
I would have agreed before I did my research. And let me tell you what the research has uncovered.
Cold, hard facts.
About unicorns?
Yeah.
They don't exist now, but a creature that looked like the thing we call a unicorn, as in it looked like a horse and had one horn in the middle of its head...
mm-hmm.
existed in parts of Europe and North Africa until around 3000 BC. So something like 5,000 years ago, it went extinct. But scientists have found, Fossils?
Fossils, yeah.
Proving that, yes, there was some sort of creature that resembled a horse, closely related to the horse, in Europe and Northern Africa 5,000 years ago with one horn.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. So the unicorn did indeed exist.
Cool.
Factoid number two.
Yeah.
We're talking about your reindeer, your run-of-the-mill reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Does it fly?
I don't think so.
Well, in certain circles
it does. Yeah.
Certain circles it does. In reality, back on planet Earth here, there are things called reindeer, or reindeers, depending on the level of education of the person saying the word.
Yeah, it would seem so.
The reindeer is the name of an animal that is generally reserved for when they're referring to this animal in parts of Europe and Asia.
Okay.
Over on the other side of the earth from where we're currently broadcasting, they will refer to this particular animal as a reindeer.
Cool.
Over on this side of the earth, we would call that animal caribou.
I see.
Yes. You've heard of caribou?
I have.
You hear about a lot of caribou up north in the Canada country.
Been around the caribou block.
Yeah. So caribou is synonymous with reindeer. Yeah. Story number one.
Number two, if I'm not mistaken.
You are. We're going backwards today.
Oh, okay.
Story number two.
Would have been helpful before.
Unicorn, or something like a unicorn, lived 5,000 years ago. There you have it.
Yeah. Well, I think that first story is the first story you said. Story number two.
Yeah.
Evidently.
I follow.
I think your unicorn story is nothing but a lie, phony, fraud, fake.
And you are correct.
Oh, thank God.
Yep.
I am deathly afraid of unicorns.
How about that,
no,
huh?
I'm not, but, you know, it would have been funny. Yeah, it would have been pretty cool if unicorns did exist, I guess. But I think, can they fly in lore and legends?
I'm sure they can, yes.
I'm going to find out.
Much the way reindeer do in lore and legends.
Unicorns cannot fly. They are earthbound creatures, unlike their relatives, the Pegasus.
Oh, I think you were telling me about this just the other day, right?
Yeah, Pegasus can fly, and it also has a horn.
And the reason Pegasus can fly is it has wings, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And unicorns are basically horses with a horn. Wait, hang on.
But a lot of times they're purple and pink and sparkly, and they just emit life magic, right?
Traditionally, European unicorns were more goat-like than horse-like, smaller than horses with a goat's beard and split hoofs, whatever, but a horse-like face, a single horn, and blue eyes. Different cultures had different ideas. Some looked more like rhinoceroses. Some in Africa were very different. None had wings. There are many theories as to what real creature gave rise to the myths.
Because obviously a dinosaur, huh?
By something. Yeah. I don't think unicorns can fly.
I think I was wrong, and I think you're
right. Oh, I believe a winged unicorn is an alicorn or an alaricorn. Weird, but true.
Logan, I believe what just happened is commonly referred to as falling off the rails.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Onto your real or fake.
Mm-hmm.
Headlines for the holiday extravaganza.
That was Mariah Carey-like range. All right, my first headline. World Bank says the poor simply need more money.
Okay.
Headline number two. New studies show water is still necessary for sustainable life.
As it relates to story number two, which you have traditionally, placed second in line.
As it would appear.
I don't believe anyone's ever disputed that water was not necessary for life.
Has anyone disputed that the poor just need more money? Obviously they do, and then they wouldn't be poor.
I could see that being a headline, especially out of some publications such as the Daily News.
And you couldn't see the second story coming out of something like The Guardian or like, I don't know, any other news sources that could have that headline.
Guardian.uk?
Guardian.co.uk, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, it's up to you to determine which one is fake.
I believe I'm going with my gut, and I'm probably wrong. World Bank and poor/money is the true story.
You are correct.
Whew.
I didn't cite my sources because I couldn't find out where that World Bank story was from, but it is true.
It makes sense in some sort of macroeconomic level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Macro, like large.
Large scale.
Large scale.
Maybe
micro,
they're
small.
What?
Scale.
Maybe what they're talking about. I don't know. I didn't read the article. Maybe what they're talking
Neither
about is that the wealthy elite simply has much too large a share of the Earth's wealth.
Yeah, I read that Jeff Bezos could single-handedly stop world hunger in like a very, very small percentage of his wealth.
Oh, it seems quite believable.
We're now recording in front of a live audience. Ladies and gentlemen, a cat has entered the room.
There is the little feline troublemaker now.
Well, I've pre-recorded Weekly Wisdom, but if you have any life hacks you want to talk about or anything at all while I go make sure this feline has everything in order, feel free. And then we'll come back and we'll say, wow, what a great Weekly Wisdom. And then the end of the episode, through editing magic, it'll sound very fluid and smooth.
Well, I certainly look forward to doing all that work. Logan, there is one thing, without going into any specifics whatsoever, we've got a friend of the show out there. She knows who she is. And she's going through what I will generally call a medical situation right now. She's going to be just fine.
Yep.
Not COVID related.
What's COVID?
Anything further would be an invasion of privacy. But we just want her to know that we're sending her all of our best and wishing her a very, very speedy recovery, especially what with the holidays upon us.
Yeah.
We're thinking of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very heartfelt message that we're sending out.
It came from the heart.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not joking
I'm not joking here.
Either. Yeah, it's hard to even pretend to be, what's the word? Genuine when I'm trying to be genuine.
Yeah, because the nature of the show has lent itself to ingenuity.
Tomfoolery.
Over the years, yeah. All right.
But
on three, let's talk about how great that Weekly Wisdom was so I can edit that in.
Okay.
All right? And we're going to leave this part in too so people know we're not lying. And now, Weekly Wisdom.
Hello, and welcome to a special holiday edition of Weekly Wisdom. I've got a few life hacks for all of you, and I'd like to talk about them right now. Our first life hack comes to us from BuzzFeed. For every 1 foot of tree height, so this is for a Christmas tree or a tree that you decorate for the holidays, for every 1 foot of the height of your tree, you need 100 lights, 9 feet of garland, and or 20 ornaments. Obviously, that's a suggestion, but that's a nice little rule to follow if you're unsure of how much you really need to decorate your tree with this holiday season. Let's move on to life hack number two. Okay, life hack number two. Use aluminum foil instead of paper. Short on paper? Check out that stash of shiny packaging material or that huge roll of aluminum foil gathering dust in the kitchen and dress up some gifts. The best part? Options like this mean you are reusing products you already have and you're creating less waste. I have one more life hack for everyone. Let's move right into it. Our final holiday life hack of the episode is a pretty cool one, in my opinion. Repurposed gift tags. Got extra paint chips lying around after redecorating? Don't throw them away. Repurpose them into gift tags by cutting them into holiday shapes. So naturally, I'm talking about the little paint chips that you might get at a Home Depot or a Lowe's, where it shows multiple colors on one piece of paper. And you can cut that into a Christmas tree or a gingerbread person, whatever you want. And that's a pretty cool gift tag idea, in my opinion. So I'd say those were three very useful, very cool life hacks. On to the rest of the episode, we go. Wow, what a great Weekly Wisdom episode.
Logan, I never knew about that. Or something.
Wow, yeah. Very, very specific.
That's great advice, especially if you're in that particular situation or ever need that particular help.
Yeah, it was. I had three life hacks about gift wrap, decorating a Christmas tree, and labeling gifts to bring you up to speed, as it were.
Yeah. Hey, Logan.
Yeah.
You asked me how I was doing earlier.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
In an earlier episode, you did. And I just wanted to talk about what I spent a lot of time doing this morning.
Yeah, please.
Trying to bring a treadmill back to life.
Oh, goodness.
Because I would say we're getting to the point where we're in the market for a new treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, guess what?
What?
You can't touch this fitness equipment.
Oh, no, you can't.
No, in this day and age, production's down. The supply chain is down. What's the word? Demand is up.
Oh, demand is so up.
So prices are up and you just can't get your hands on any fitness equipment.
You really can't.
Weights, weight benches, treadmills, cycles, stationary cycles.
Dumbbells, kettlebells.
Yeah.
We actually get our hands on resistance bands. Those are pretty easy to come by.
Yeah.
So if you want resistance bands, actually that's a great alternative to dumbbells or something because those are all sold out.
And you can put them in your suitcase if you travel.
So compact.
Yeah.
I've been using them. They're great. But that's really all I had planned for this spectacular episode we just did.
I can't disagree.
All right.
That is all we had planned.
Well, yeah, in the words of Eric Andre, that's all I had planned at the beginning of every episode. I hope everyone has a very happy and safe holiday. And if you already celebrate a holiday that's been going on or already happened, we wish you well, and we hope that you had a great holiday and continue to have a great holiday with family, and you know that you're safe and healthy.
And yeah,
we hope 2021 is going to be a year of discovery, possibility, and change in a positive direction. You know,
I do know, Logan.
Yeah,
I agree. I hope that
even
also.
Though this is not our last episode of 2020. We still have one more, believe it or not.
Is it a New Year's extravaganza?
If you want it to be.
We can call it whatever we want.
I'm about to cry. This is a beautiful moment between us. Thank you all for listening. If you do feel so inclined, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Share us with your family and friends. It's very easy to do, and it helps us out a lot. I'd say you could email us, but don't. I don't know.
No,
if you know the email, you can email
don't
us.
Bother.
But if you don't, then don't. Am I forgetting anything else?
No.
Check out The Figures Among Us and The Figures Among Us Resurrection. Links in the show notes. It also helps us out and allows us to put out more and more high quality content over the duration of our career as podcasters. Never thought of it that way, but you know, I guess it kind of is a career.
Yeah.
Not a very fruitful one yet.
It's an avocation.
I guess it is. Eric, it's been real. It's been fun.
And before we go, here's an exclusive interview that I just recorded. And now, an exclusive interview with friend of the show, Madeline. Madeline, great to have you on, as always.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've got 4 quick questions to ask you, and I'll let you go. Question number 1, why is this time of the year one of your favorites?
This time of year is very nice because I love Christmas and Christmas is coming up. Also, like today, you get snow and I love snow and I just love this time of year mostly because of the holiday season. It just makes me so happy.
All right, great. Question number 2, what's your favorite thing to do in the snow?
My favorite thing to do in the snow is definitely skiing, but I do like sledding also. But yeah, I really like skiing.
How are you at skiing? Any good?
I think so.
Well, we'll have to see about that. Question number 3. What do you prefer? A cold day in a ski resort or a warm summer's afternoon on the beach? Why?
I think I prefer a cold day in a ski resort because I like skiing a lot and I love the beach, but it's quite limited for what I can do because if I knew how to surf or do fun things like that, it might be hard to pick between these two scenarios, but I don't know how to surf, and it's also a lot easier for me to get to a ski resort than to a beach, living where we do, so,
Northeast part of the United States.
Yeah.
All right, finally, our last question.
Do you have anything else to say to the audience? Anything at all? 15 minutes of fame or whatever the heck.
I do not.
All right. Well, that was a lot from friend of the show, Madeline.
Thank you.
Good to have you on. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next time. I'll let you end the episode this week by saying whatever you'd like.
For those of you who may or may not be celebrating anything in particular this time of the year, hope it's a happy and a merry one.
Special thanks to my co-host Eric, Andrew O, Louis F, friend of the show Megan, friend of the show Madeline, Anchor.fm, Amazon, and numerous other people who opted to stay anonymous for their dedication and support in creating this mega episode. Our intro song was created by David Cutter of David Cutter Music, who can be found at davidcuttermusic.com, link in the show notes. You can find back episodes of this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker, Google Podcasts, or most anywhere else you listen to recorded media. This is an original APAM production, all rights reserved, copyright 2020.